One issue. Oh, we weren't recorded before? Oh, Josh was recording. Josh is always recording. Right, Josh?
Yeah, we were recording before too.
Yes, so how did it, why did it start on its own now?
Just in case, an extra backup for the Rosh Hashanah one.
Oh, okay, you did that.
Avram.
Did that without being a co-host?
Avram did it.
Avram did it. That's why Avram is like the perennial co-host. Although everybody's doing an amazing job. Zach, you could have shut him off, right? Even now, you could turn it off. If I say something that doesn't make any sense, Zach, you'll save me from myself. Okay, thank you. But Avram is showing faith in me, which I appreciate. Okay. So I want to speak a little bit about Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, a little bit to compensate for the fact that this year, the first day, the Doraisa day, there is no shofar for Rosh Hashanah, as we know. That always is a little bit jarring. You know, I think it's a particularly jarring this year because the idea of tzaka and bechi and, you know, everything that the shofar brings, you know, to Rosh Hashanah is so palpable every year. You know, but particularly people, you know, we're living through a difficult time. You know, we're giving shiurim on Zoom, except for Tuesdays, which is a hybrid. We look forward to getting back, but, you know, Zoom probably will continue to be part of it. It's not Zoom per se, it's what it reflects. A society, you know, which is very, which has been challenged, where there have been a lot of losses, sadly, terrible tragedies, and where just the sense of the unknown, you know, and fear is very prevalent. And the idea of, you know, a Rosh Hashanah where you don't even have the first day of the Tkiyas Shofar Daraisa, you know, with everything that we associate with it, is a little bit daunting. But Rosh Hashanah Shecholios B'Shabbos, Zeh Rosh Hashanah Yavrenu Dalet Amos B'Shus Harabim, we don't take the shofar. So I thought I would speak a little bit. There's so much to talk about it, and I feel badly, but a little bit at least about both sides of that. And I want to begin with the role of shofar, its incredibly central role, even relative to other mitzvos, you know, hayom. And then to circle back in the end, we don't have so much time. Whoever has to leave for class should leave. But I'll try to do a quick job, just a few Rosh Prakim. Hold me to the details for another time. But then to circle back and to try to understand, you know, how it could be that we completely negate or neutralize Tkiyas Shofar on Shabbos. So let me begin by highlighting it in the following way. The Rashba in Masechet Rosh Hashanah and Daf Tezayin, the Gemara there famously speaks about, you know, the requirement of Tkiyas Demiyushav alongside Tkiyas Demu'umad. The Gemara says that you know, it's a strange, you know, Loma Token Kashem Yoshvin, you know, Token Marian Kashem Omdin, right? You know, Arve Vesa Satan. Interesting Gemara. But that's the source for our Minog, that we have two sections, two groups of Tkiya Shofar, right? One in the context of Tfilah, according to some, even in Tfilah Balachash, according to others, certainly Al Sederat Tfilah and Chazar Sashatz. And the other, what we call the first Tkiyas, ironically, of Tkiyas to Miyushav, and that relationship itself requires a lot of discussion. Are there two dinim, really? What's the idea behind that? Okay. Either way, that Gemara triggered a discussion in the Rishonim about Baltosif, and a smaller discussion, which I want to get to just to highlight, about Baltigra. So the Baltosif Alatar, there and later on in Rosh Hashanah, wonder why you can, you know, add, you know, sets of Tkiyas Shofar. After all, in the end of the day, there's an Isra Baltosif. So Baltosif in both places, in Rosh Hashanah and elsewhere, developed the rule that, you know, Baltosif doesn't mean repeating the mitzvah multiple times. It means doing the mitzvah in a different way, in a way in which you think you're adding, this is not for now, you know, but kolamosiv goreya, Sosiv vilo sigra, when you're Mosif, you are Gorea. That's what the Trup tells us. And that's what Chazal meant when they say Kolamosiv Gorea. The Torah is in perfect balance in terms of what it requires of us. And therefore, tampering with it is mimela detracting from it, implication-wise and even detail-wise. I don't want to get into that. That's a topic in its own right. So the Baalei Tosfos say, however, if you just repeat the performance of the mitzvah multiple times, that's not Baal Tosef. Baal Tosef, you play around with the Chafsa Shal Mitzvah. Okay. The Rajba disagrees. The Rajba in Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Tezayin, says, he doesn't disagree that, in a sense, it's not clear that he thinks that Tosfos is wrong. That's a discussion in the Minchas Chinuch. But what he says is, at minimum, what he says is that this is unnecessary, meaning that there's an easier answer for this particular question. And that is because, one second, let me find the language if I can. The reason that is so is because the source for doing this particular addition is Adin D'Rabbanan. And we don't look, can't find language at the moment, but anything that the Chachamim were Mitakein is not a problem of Baltosin. That's an interesting Rajba. That seems to be a debate among the Rishonim. The Rambam and the Ravid seem to talk about this as well. Not for now. Then the Rajba goes on and says, Viharaya v'teda, because if you didn't look at the contributions of the Rabbanan in this way, then you would have a problem of Baltigra, right? When you consider the halacha of Rosh Hashanah Shecholios B'Shabbos, how could the Chachamim have determined, I'm bolstering the question even more, that in the day which is the only day, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaRichta, we blow shofar both times, and it isn't just Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, it's Yom HaRichta. But even the day of Yom HaRichta, pretty much, some echoes here and there that it might be more, but in the Zohar and the Lavush, and you know, there are some Makoros, but at least on a Kiyum level. But basically, the first day is Doraisa. So how could it be that we canceled Tkiya Shofar Doraisa? That would be a violation of Baltigra. So you see from here that for Baltosif and Baltigra, the Chachamim are, my words, a full partner in the process. And what they do never violates those Isurim. That's the Rajba. So this Rajba triggered a lot of controversy and discussion. And basically, the Turi Evan and everybody after him weighs in on this question. It sounds like the Rajba thinks that if you abstain from doing a mitzvah d'oraisa, that should be a violation of Tigra. Because what did the Chachamim say? Shemi Aviron Adal Adamus Bishus Arabim. You should not blow shofar on Shabbos. But if that's the case, then every individual who abstains from doing a mitzvah d'oraisa violates Baal Tigra. Or to put it the way some of the Achronim put it, and if you held that Lav She'im B'Maisa Lokin Olav, there's such a mandamar, would you say that every time you abstain or refrain from doing a mitzvah d'oraisa that you chayav malchus? Right, may olam lamatzina that you violate lotigra when you don't do a mitzvah saseh. And certainly we never found that according to the mandamar, lav shem b'maisa lokin olav, that you get malchus. So it sounds like the Rajba's raya is hugely overreaching. That is the question of the Achronim. The Turi Evan further goes on to say, just to highlight it a little further, what does he think Baal Tigra is? He says, no, Baal Tigra can only apply, the two conditions of the Turi Evan are interesting. One is, hitzkil b'mitzvah, you started, but you didn't complete it. Moreover, the part that you didn't complete is not ma'akev, or at least maybe is not ma'akev legamri. Because if it was ma'akev legamri, probably this is what he thinks, then igloi milsa, that you really didn't begin it either. Or that you destroyed it lamafreya enough, or you're not following through with the davar hama'akev enough that it's still not baltegra. So the Turi Avin seems to think, at minimum, you require hitzkel b'mitzvah v'lo gamar. Probably require even more than that, right? That the lo gamar is not by omitting a davar hama'akev. It's somehow by ruining the mitzvah, you know, in some other way. In other words, baltigra is a kumvase, not a sheval tafse. What the Turi Avin clearly has in mind is probably several overlapping things. Number one, that baltigra means to be bekumbase, not b'shev al tase, what I just said. Number two, and these are overlapping, I'm not sure which is the main one. Baltigra needs some sort of tziruf. If you just sit home and you sit on your hands and you don't do the mitzvah, you know, in addition to being shev al tase, maybe the reason that it's the problem that it's shev al tase, in addition, is that you're not, there's no tziruf to the mitzvah. It's not like, you know, you did the mitzvah and then you undermined it. You just didn't do it. There's no ma'isa mitzvah. There's no mizgeret. Or, also overlapping, maybe what he requires is somehow that you like attack the mitzvah, or undermine the credibility, the integrity, you know, of the mitzvah. Whether it's the ma'isa mitzvah, the kiyuma mitzvah, the category of the mitzvah, it's not enough just to abstain or refrain from doing the mitzvah. That's the idea of the Turi Avin. Then he goes on, you know, to discuss some of the details, to bring riots for this. The Beis Halevi, in an interesting piece in Chelek Aleph Siman Chaf Dalet, attacks point number two of the Turi Avin and discusses also implicitly whether point number two is connected to point number one. In other words, he seems to think, you know, initially, that this idea that baltigra will not apply if you left out the davar hama'akev is the same or is the equivalent of saying lo hitchil. And then he goes back on it. He discusses lulav. Let's say you pick up a lulav with three minim and the fourth one is a lemon. Is that baltigra? The Gemara seems to give a different explanation why you don't fulfill the mitzvah. Is there a difference between, let's say, picking up a lemon or having the four minim in front of you, including an esrog, picking up three of them and not picking up the fourth? That's the Beis Halevi's discussion. Right, in one case, it's ke'ilo lo hitzkel b'mitzvah, igloi milsa, because you'd have to start all over again. In the other case, you just didn't complete it, but you're in the middle. So he has different views. Is there this second category or not? And if there's no second category, right, does that undermine even the first category? Therefore, the Rajba is right. But what's fascinating about, and again, there are different views. I think it's clear that there are different ways not to do a davar hama'akev or why things are ma'akev. Sometimes it's an ikuv in the kiyuma mitzvah. Sometimes the ikuv shows you haven't even begun the mitzvah. Sometimes you haven't completed the ma'isa mitzvah. This is me speaking now. So there could be different hagdaros of baltigra. But at the end of the day, and that's, I think, what the Beis Halevi and the Turi Avin and others are struggling about, different echotimtzes. It's much more complicated. But the bigger idea seems to be true. And that is that if you abstain from doing a mitzvah, per se, as certainly as an individual, that's not baltigra. You need a tziruf, you need some sort of kumvase, you need somehow, like in baltosif, you need somehow not just, it's not just a posture and how you did or didn't do a particular mitzvah, it's an attitude about that mitzvah or about mitzvahs in general. And therefore the Rajba is tamua. In the end, the Beis Halevi, surprisingly to me at least, ends up saying that, you know, there's no problem with the Rajba. Afil lo hitchil b'mitzvah, you can have baltigra. Aye, so why don't you get Malkus for it, according to the Mandamar, Lav Shem B'maisein Lokin Olav? I mean, the Lokin Olav? So he actually says something similar, you know, to to the Ralbach that we just saw. He says, the Ikar Pasuk of Bal Tigra certainly seems to be about Hitchil v'lo Gamar, or Hitchil v'shina, or Hitchil v'kilkal, my additions. But it's also true, you know, that in situation where lo asa, that would also be Bal Tigra. The only reason you'll get Malkus is because it's the Tafel part of the Pasuk, not the Ikar. Like what the Ralbach said about lo yeyachel. A little bit like what the Radvaz said, maybe, about why there's no Mujma v'yomed, even if Chatzishir, you know, is also Minat Torah, you know, because that's not the Mefurish Bakra. There's a Mefurish Bakra Bal Tigra that's Hitchil v'lo Gamar, or Hitchil v'shina, or Hitchil v'kilkel, or whatever it is. And then there's another one, and the Rajba is talking about the other one, you know, and Shalom al Yisra. I think the question, instinctively, not just in terms of the sugyas alone, is much stronger. And I find the Beis Halevi's response fascinating, but surprising and problematic. Let me ask another question. Is it significant that the Rajba doesn't bring a raya from Lulav, where they also were mevata Lulav on the first day of Yom Tov when it's called the Shabbos, Zerah Shami Averin Dal Adamus Brishus Harabim? Well, again, let me make it clear. The Rajba may be just giving one example. Moreover, the Gemara and the primary issue that he's speaking about, Bal Tosef, is talking about Tkiyas Shofar Dimiyushov. So to bring a raya from Bal Tigra to Bal Tosef, which is itself interesting, from Bal Tosef to Bal Tigra, and to bring it from the Bal Tigra of Shofar is meaningful. If we were interviewing the Rajba, I wonder, you know, whether he would have said the same thing. It's very possible he would have said the same thing about Lulav. Okay. But I'm raising the question, you know what, maybe he wouldn't have. Why? For several reasons. Number one, let me get to the core of what I think of the Rajba. I'd like to say two things about the Rajba. And again, I'm not sure if they are completely separate or they too are overlapping. I'm not really sure. You could say them separately. They stand separately. They also may come together. Neither the Turi Eben nor the Beis Halevi accentuate, first and foremost, in this Rajba, is the fact that the Rajba is not speaking about an individual not doing a mitzvah saseh. He's talking about Beis Din being metakein, right? That you should sit home, and all of Klal Yisrael, with the exception of those in the Beis HaMikdash or Beis Din, we'll get to that in a second, should not do the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar. Again, anybody who needs to leave for a class, please feel it is being taped anyway. I just feel a little guilty, but I do want to just at least get the basic idea, and certainly not the rayas or the fullness of it. The Rajma never said at all that if a person sits home and abstains, refrains, or even abstains, even if he makes a speech about it, frankly, you know, he says, L'shem yichud kud shabricho, I refuse to do the chalila. I don't mean that. But it wouldn't be, frankly, a din rabbanan. That would be Bal Tigra. Hari lo hitchil b'mitzvah, and there's no tziruf, and it's not kud vaseh. Right? The classic lotigras in the Gemara, you know, where you have a chiyuv to do dalad matanos on the mizbeach, Gemara Rosh Hashanah, there's Mishnah and Zvachim really, and you do one instead of four. But there's a debate in the Mishnah, if you mix up the kosos, you know, of karbanos, you know, one of which requires four matanos, and the other which requires, you know, one, you know, what should you do? And it's like a debate between Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua, I think, whatever, that, you know, is it better to do the Bal Tosef and do four, you know, for both? Or is it better to do the Bal Tigra and to do one? The Gemara calls that, or thinks that it might be Bal Tigra. If you have a choice, it would be Bal Tigra. If you did it, but that, of course, Hitchil, right? Vishina or Kilkel. So anybody would think that Misha lo asa mitzvah saseh, even if you held Bavshim b'maisa lokan olav, that constitutes baltigra. No. But if the Chachamim legislate out a mitzvah saseh, could that be baltigra? Does it depend on, if not for the fact that it's a din d'rabbanan and that the rabbanan have a koach, does it depend? So that's number one. Number two, we're not talking about iasiyah saseh ayidei kol echad b'klal Yisrael. We're talking about a takana to change the din. Now, it still isn't hitcha b'mitzvah in a typical way, but it might be an attack on the integrity of the mitzvah. Now, from that point of view, you could say, well, lulav and shofar are the same. But maybe even then there are differences for the following reason. Number one, if you make a takana not to blow shofar on the first day, that's the doraisa. And you're okay, you know, the mitzvah. At least in lulav, there's the mikdash. At least in theories, there's the mikdash, kol sharayam. Even though the Gemara does say that even in the mikdash, there's a special yichus for the first day, because in Medina, that was the day doraisa. So you are doing, it's a big deal in lulav when you're okay that mitzvah. But there are other expressions. Does that factor into whether it's baltigra? Moreover, and this I want to get back to in a minute anyway, in its own right, all the Rishonim were troubled. The Gemara says, Shem Yavrinu Da'olamas Mishu Sarabim. That's why you don't have Shofar Shabbos. And Hu Adin Lulav and Hu Adin Megillah. So the Bali Tosis in Sukkah Mem Gimel and in Rosh Hashanah Chavtes, and other Rishonim all ask this question as well. Balamor, Ramban, Ravid, Ran, in Sukkah in particular. There's a big difference between, on Megillah, of course, is Drabana. That's a different story. But there's a difference between shofar and lulav in that they were oker the din shofar doraisa, right? Even bizmana mikdash. But they were only oker the din lulav doraisa, shelo bizmana mikdash. When there was a base of mikdash, the Gemara explains in Sukkah, and they yodu bekviya the archa, they for sure knew it was Sukkahs, they didn't make the takana to be oker. So it says, how can you compare those two things? Meaning, so for the moment, just on the technical point, when the Chachamim said, don't bring Sukkah lulav on the first day, which is Dindaraisa, but that takana wasn't across the board. Number one, there were other days in the Mikdash. Maybe that's relevant. Number two, they weren't Misharish or Oker at Legamri. Number two, it only applied when there was a bit of a suffix, also in a pragmatic reason, in addition to the Gzeir. That might also be a reason not to say Lotigra, because it's not an Akira Gemura. Thirdly, there's a major debate in general whether Drabanans have the capacity to completely undermine Doraisas. Right? When the Rabbos of Shorashi explain Tanakh the Kodesh Bakasma, the Kodesh Babi, and Ma'ika Lameimar, and they say Shavu Rabbanan Bilasa Bilasnus, and they say what it means is the Rabbanan have the Koach, and they did, they took Kiddush Abiyah and they rendered it invalid. That's an amazing Koach. A lot of the Rishonim don't believe in the Rabbos of Shorashi, think that there's no such Koach. The Rabbanan can tell you what to do, but they can't invalidate on a Doraisa level. Or if they can, maybe need some other mechanism, which we'll discuss. So let's say shofar. When the Chachamim said, no shofar on Shabbos, or no lulav on Shabbos, what's the din? Do they really invalidate it? Im avar v'toka, im avar v'natal. Are you mekayim the mitzvah? Number one, is there a kiyum mitzvah? Number two, let's say somebody else is doing it. This is a discussion in the Mikroi Kodesh, Tzim Pesach Frank. If somebody's doing it anyway, the background was that questions on the takana, the b'makom bezin, you blow shofar, you know, does that, can that apply b'zman hazeh? So it was a group of poskim who thought, yes. And the majority thought not. That's why we don't do it. But let's say some of the ones who think yes go ahead and they blow shofar. Is it better to be there and at least hear it? So at least you yotze the doraisa? Even though midrabanan, you're not doing it yourself, you can't do it yourself. Are you mitzuraf? Number one. But is there some benefit if the chacham said, did the chacham say no and there's no kiyum daraisa? Or the chacham Shlomo, or Shlomo Kluger in Shulchan Aruch, has the following question. He said, let's say the guy started, he did a couple of notes. Should he at least finish? It's one question. Or another question. But you're not supposed to blow shofar, but he did. Should he say Shachianu the next? We say Shachianu for both days. But usually we require, you know, some sort of a new beged or something, because there's a debate in the Rishonim whether you make Shachianu on the second day of Tekiyah Shofar or not. Let's say according to the Mandamar, you don't. Or if you do, you need a beged Chodesh. So let's say you heard, you blew Shofar, you heard Shofar on the first day. If you didn't, then you should certainly say Shachianu on the second day. The Kula Alma. Without the beged. But if you did, is it Ke'ilu Lo Shama? And is it Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah on the first day? Does that depend on Befoal? What does that depend on? Can you say the words Yom Trua on the first day? And then there's a Chatfila, we say Zichron Trua. Even though it's only Drabanan, it seems. That's a huge issue. I'll get back to that in a second very quickly. Bidiyavid, can you say Yom Trua even though you don't? So the same question with regard to lulav. Oh. In order to justify what the Rajba is saying, do you need to have been oker legamri or dafka? Maybe it'd work better the other way. You know, it's a yom of shofar and you're not blowing. I'm not sure. I suspect the first one more. There's a lot of discussion about this question. Rabbi Knager, for example, says that im taka, you know, whether it be yotze or not, b'diavad, he says, you're yotze b'diavad. A lot of rayas back and forth from other drabanans, including, you know, drabanans about sukkah in a tree, sukkah on a behema, sukkah where we're rosho verubo, you know, but shulchano is babayis. Is there a difference between other drabanans and this drabanan of tkiyah shofar? Is it possible this drabanan of tkiyah shofar, they went further and they were okered or misharish it even more, or the other way, that they weren't okered as much? Either way, what I'm trying to suggest, and I'll explain why in just a second, is that maybe the Rajba Dafka asked, and if I'm wrong about the Rajba, it doesn't matter to me, you know, I'm just talking theoretically about this idea, that maybe there's more Baltigra in Shofar, even than there is in Lula, because of the other outlets, because the din itself didn't apply to Zman HaMikdash, you know, Kol Zman Sheyodo B'Kviya D'Archa, which doesn't seem to be the case of Shofar, although some Rishonim say that's the Pshat in Shofar too, just that in Shofar, you never know Kviya D'Archa because it's Kesel Yom Chageinu, right? It's the same day. But let's assume you don't give that answer. In terms of Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah, in terms of Avar V'Taka, a lot of most of the Achronim equate them. They assume whatever is true for one, you can make rise from one to the other. But I'm wondering whether or not some of the differences highlight that the role of shofar is different than that of lulav. And let me explain what I mean in a very dialectical way. On the one hand, shofar is more intrinsic to the Kedusha Sayom of Rosh Hashanah than lulav is to is. Specifically lulav, because lulav isn't even in the main parsha of Emor. And no one ever called Sukkos, you know, Yom Lulav. It's in the second rendition in Emor. Shofar, on the other hand, not only is in the main part, but in Parshas Pinchas, it's Yom Trua Yelachem. The whole day, it's not even like Chagamatzos or Chagasukos. It's Yom Trua Yelachem. True in Emor, it's Zichron Trua, but even as Zichron Trua, which we'll get back to in a second, the Trua defines the day. Nothing else defines Rosh Hashanah other than shofar in the Torah, in both parshios, each in a different way. Moreover, the role of the shofar for Yom HaDin is crucial. And the Gemara says that you can't make a shofar, you know, from a cow, because for the same reason that the Kohen Gadol can't wear big day zahav on Yom Kippur, lifnai v'lifnim, because ain't kategar nasa sanegar. Shofar is a davar shaba lifnai v'lifnim. Shofar is the mechanism that we use to relate to the Rabbanu Shalom with Melech and to invoke Schosavos and Zichronos in a broader way in order to achieve the benefit of Rosh Hashanah and the beginning of the process of Yom HaNarayim. That's what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tazayin, Hamlichuni Aleichem, Ketei Shatavo Zichronoseichem Lefanai, Ubameh, the Shofar. The role of the shofar in defining the day, and the role of the shofar is the mechanism for tefillah and tshuva, Uri Yishena Mishinaskam of the Rambam. But the trua, yevava, the bechi, the inarticulate call of tefillah is crucial. The Ravid in Masachet Sukkah and Mem Gimel was of the opinion that there's a special, the Ikar Kra, we're talking about Ikar Kra, you know, in Tafel, the Ikar Kra of shofar was in the Beis HaMikdash, together with the Karbanos, very big Kiddush of the Ravid. Parshanut Kiddush and a Halachic Kiddush. That's why he says, B'mikdash, maybe, you know, token. The truth is, Yerushalmi says it. The Bavli had a Havamina, that we don't blow shofar in Shabbos because of Zichron Trua. That's the difference between Zichron Trua and Yom Trua. Yom Trua is Shar Yamos Ha, you know, Shar Yamim other than Shabbos, and Zichron Trua is Shabbos. So the Bavli, Rava, says that can't be, because then how would you blow it in the Mikdash if it was also Min HaTorah, Big Vulin? Says the Rava, Zer Hashem Yavar Nadal to Peshusarab. But the Ushalmi thinks it's Doraisa and continues to cling to the idea of Zichron Trua and Yom Trua. Says the Ushalmi, what about the Mikdash? The conclusion of the Yerushalmi is the mokom of akravas karbanos requires shofar even on Shabbos. Very parallel to that Ravid, maybe a mokar, who knows? And to this idea of Yom Trua Yelachem, we call mokom. The Ritva in Sukkah says even if mitzvah babaver is limited to very few things, the Gemara only has it by karban lulav, he says it should apply to shofar too. Rambam thinks, Eimba Kol Din Gezel. Rambam has a different view. He says, why? Because shofar is also ritzui, because it's nichnas lefnai v'lefnim, in kategor nasa senegar. The role of shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a defining one. And the kind of bechi, you know, the range of it, the 10 themes of Rav Sajagon, and the, you know, ginuchei gonech yilula yalil, shneyam yachad, b'nishimachas, shelo b'nishimachas. All of that is what shofar in a call, you know, not ruined by even articulating it, just experiencing it, bring to the table. And that's why perhaps Min HaTorah, you know, even if it's a violation of Shabbos in some way, Havamina the Gemara, and kind of the Yerushalmi, so Tosa says in Rosh Hashanah, he said, I don't understand. If there's no, you know, why would you need a Xeris HaKosov of Zichron Trua, you know, to teach you that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos? If there really is a malacha here of some sort, right? So how would you do that? How would it work? Why do you even need a Xeris HaKosov? Right? That's similar to the question in the Yerushalmi and Rav and the Bavli. And how is Mikdash an exception? Right? So there's one view Tosa says, the Havamina would be that you can violate Shabbos in order to blow shofar. Yom Tshura Yelachem. Mikol Mako. Wow. Like a korban. It's it. Like you bring korbanos on Shabbos and Yontif. You bring the korban of Yontif on Shabbos and bring the korban of Shabbos on Shabbos. But that means even shofar? It's like Bris Mila, you can be Michal Shabbos for Shofar Barash Hashanah. I think the answer is yes, and there are so many other indications of it. because it's Yom Truah. It's part of the Kedushas Hayom, just like the Karbonos are part of the Kedushas Hayom. So if that's the case, maybe that's the pshat of the Rajba. Maybe not lulav. Maybe telling Klal Yisrael to sit home, not the individual abstaining, ever, but legislating that there's no shofar b'Shabbos, in this case, given how nachutz shofar is to Rosh Hashanah, that's not a sheval tase. Having the Kedushas Hayom, I could say it this way, might be too facile, maybe it's wrong, I don't know, but I'm going to say it anyway, is a possibility. Having the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Truah, Yelachem, or even Zichron Truah for that matter, and legislating that you can't blow shofar, maybe it's even like Hitchil v'lo Gomar. Hitchil Yom Truah v'lo Gomar. More likely, I say I'm not sure about that. More likely, what's important about Hitchil v'lo Gomar, and what's important about Hitchil, even the second Tanai of the Torah Aben, right, v'lo Hishmit Dabar Hama'akev, is that Tziruf and that Kumvaseh part. And that sense that you are undermining, you're taking something and you're being makalkal it by changing it. That you have, maybe not as much, or maybe not at all, in lulav, because that Yom Lulav, and for the various other reasons, lulav is halal, very important. You have other outlets. But to do that on shofar, it's a Rosh Hashanah, it's Kedushas Hayom, where the halacha is not to blow shofar. Right? So for that, you need Xeris HaKasav of Zichron Truah. You could have Rosh Hashanah with Zichron Truah, with Malchus, Akronos, and Shofars. I'm going to say more about this in a second. I think it's more than this. The point is, and maybe that means, Ad Kedekach, that they were Mevatalit even more than, you know, not taking the Lulav. Maybe there's no Kiyam at all. Because Im Kvar, Az Kvar. You have to go all the way with it. I'm not sure. Right? Maybe the only way to tell you not to do it is to say, we were mafkia, this whole thing, completely. But that's Baltigra. Except that, and now we get to the other half, the other side of the coin, says the Rajba, not if a Chachamim Matakim. What, that's a technicality? Why were the Chachamim Matakim? So number one, according to the Yerushalmi, it wasn't the Chachamim, it's a Din D'Oraisa. There are some Achronim who say that Beit Shammai, who hold that we don't believe in Mitoch, they should have had a problem with Shammai Avi Renadal and Amos B'Shus HaRabin. Because that should apply to Yontif too. Just like we don't make a Gzeira Shammai Yitakin Klishir, that this is the famous question that Magen Avraham and the Taz and Rishonim already deal with it. Why don't you say Shammai Yitakin Klishir on... and explain why you don't blow shofar. So the Magen Avraham says, because if you said that, then you shouldn't do it on Yontif either. And if you can't do it on Yontif, then you've been oker legamri, the mitzvah. And you can't do that. By the way, that might be Bal Tigra. Or it might be based on another pasuk that Rashi quotes in Mishpatim. Right? There seems to be this view in the poskim, in some of the Rishonim already, that a gzeira, which completely undermines is oker, din d'oraisa, has no bituya, no expression, that you can't do. Maybe that's a kind of baltegra. Or on a full mitzvah level, it's baltegra. But according to Beit Shammai, that there's no din of mitoch, maybe Shavu Yamari Renu applies to Yontif too, so it shouldn't apply to Shabbos. So the Prima God, all the Achronim discusses, what's Beit Shammai going to do with the Gemara? Some of them say, you know, according to Beit Shammai, you should blow on Shabbos. That's radical. Others say, according to Beit Shammai, it's like the Yerushalmi and the Havamina, it's a Din D'Oraisa. And others give more moderate teirutz, which I'm not going to get into right now. The Aruch HaShulchan says that even though it's a Din D'Rabbanan, Remez Yesh Min HaTorah, because of Zichron Truah. Wow. It's an interesting idea. We don't abandon the Havamina. And some of the Rishonim, the Ravon, Rokeach, they seem to be quoting Zichron Truah. our practice in Nusach HaTfilah based on Masechet Sofrim is Zichron Truah. We say Zichron Truah and not Yom Truah. That's a fascinating thing. The Trumas HaDeshen as a tshuva, Beis Yosef and the Bach quote it, you know, disapprovingly, partly, where it says maybe at night you should say Zichron Truah instead of Yom Truah, because you don't blow the shofar at night. So I think both sides of that are interesting. The Beis Yosef says, yeah, but it's a Yom in which there's Truah. That's different than Shabbos. But that's interesting. On the one hand, it shows that the Tkiah is anticipated. That's what I meant by it's Kfar Hitchil, or it's defined by the mitzvah. Not doing it is the kind of Bal Tigra. Even Ba'erev we're talking about is Yom Truah. On the other hand, for the Yerushalmi, for the Havamina, maybe for Beis Shammai, even for the Aruch HaShulchan, I've always found it incredibly intriguing that when Rosh Hashanah Schalios B'Shabbos, you say Zichron Truah, that's the Pasuk in Emor. Usually you say the Pasuk in Pinchas. Usually, if there's a choice between the main parshas of Moedim, Emor and Pinchas, you go for Emor. And Zichron Truah is a very challenging term. The Bach says this. The Bach quotes, the Torah quotes the Sheet of Rav Haigon that all the time you should say Zichron Truah. Every year. Even if it's Chol. So the Bach says, I don't get it. Why? Why wouldn't you say Yom Truah where you blow the shofar? I think the answer is because it's parshas Emor. And it's the best characterization of the Chag. But then it's so peculiar that we only say it on Shabbos. Why? Because we want to make sure that you know that you're not blowing shofar when you're saying Shemoneh Esrei. So then maybe at night you should say it like the Trumas HaDeshen, so you know that you're not blowing at night. I know the answer. Okay, so what I'd like to say is as follows. I'd like to explain the Doraisa of Zichron Truah and the Durabanan of Shammai Avireinu. Because if shofar is truly so central to this Kedushas Hayom, right, why wouldn't it violate? I've spent a little bit of time building up the idea that even contrast to lulav, and lulav is an extreme, but shofar is the other extreme, that tkiyas shofar plays an indispensable role. It's almost irreplaceable. The only thing you can replace it for is zichron truah, psuke malchios and zichronos, and Jofros. Okay, fine. But I've tried to show that its role is outsized. But then the question of how could you make such a takana? Why isn't it Baltigra? So I mean, on a technical point, you could say, whenever the Chacham do something, they have the authority, that's not Baltigra. Fine. I don't mean technically. What I really am saying is, why would they do it? Shemei Avireinu, there are other things we don't say Shemei Avireinu, as the Rishonim and Achronim ask. Let me highlight it in one more way, and then I'll bring it to the conclusion. Tosis asks the question. Tosis points out that there are two discrepancies between lulav and shofar in the Shammai Avireinu gzeira. Even though the Gemara says v'hainu taima or something, but lulav v'hainu megillah. Tosis points out there are two discrepancies. One discrepancy is the one that we mentioned. If we knew 100% that it was Sukkos, Bikviya Diarcha, like Bizman HaMikdash, there was no Gzeira Shemei Avireinu. That's strange, given that Lulav seems to play less of a role as being indispensable than Shofar. Now, again, there are many answers, some very technical. Tosfos gives two answers. Baal HaMor is a fascinating answer. Ramban has an answer. They all have answers to this question. But I'm interested in the question, not the answers at the moment. There's another discrepancy in the other direction. And that goes as follows. Same Tosis. The Mishnah says that after the Korban, they made a takana, that kol makom sheyesh bezdin, you do tkiyas shofar. What kind of bezdin? You know, how does that exactly work? Okay. So Tosfos says, but you don't have such a parallel gzeira, din for lulav. Lulav bezman hazeh, even though you yodim bekviya de'archa, even b'makom bezin, you don't take it. Why are we more insistent that there be an outlet for the shofar than for the lulav. Tosfos in Sukkah, Tosfos Rosh Hashanah says an amazing thing. Tosfos says, because the shofar is the means, shatavo zichronoseinu, right, lifnei hamelach. You can't do without that. Right? But lulav is an important mitzvah. But shemi avi redu da'olam is b'shus harabim. Okay. Now, what emerges then is something fascinating, and that is, there's a kula and a chumra for Rosh Hashanah. Right? Where machmir, shemi avi redu, even bizman ha-mikdash, b'medina, right? Whereas for lulav, even b'medina, bizman ha-mikdash, they took the lulav. But when it comes to after the Chorban, right, we insist on shofar somewhere and not a lulav. So let me make it clear. The Rishonim ask both questions. The Rishonim give answers to both questions. What they say, of course, is very important. I'm zeroing in on this answer to the second question. But I'd like to suggest, based on it, a solution to the first problem as well. And this is my speculation, although I hope it's based on, you know, what we've been saying. What I'd like to suggest is that precisely because shofar plays the role that it does, we're also much more scrupulous to make sure that the goal of the shofar is not undermined by the mitzvah of shofar. For the same reason that it's indispensable, that it captures the Kedushas Hayom, that it maybe even be perceived, if not for the Din Rabbanan or the Koach HaRabbanan, and now I want to say even the content of the Rabbanan, it's Koach, right? It might have been perceived as Bal Tigra. How can you have shofar? How could you have Rosh Hashanah without shofar? It's Yom Trua. For that very same reason, namely, that the shofar represents a certain spiritual aspiration, that the shofar is a call to tshuva and to consistency, that the shofar requires ginuchei ganech and yilulei yolil, and both, that the shofar carries the 10 themes of Reb Sadia Gaon. Because of what the shofar is, it's tefillah, that's why it has a special din in the mikdash, kibesi, based tefillah yikarei l'chal ho'amim. It's connected to karbonos for the expressions that we just saw. Precisely because of all that, the idea that in the context of Tekiah Shofar, you would make a mistake in Shevi Avirenu Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim, that is totally unacceptable. If you end up doing Lulav, you know, Shemei Avirenu, you know, obviously that's not good, especially it's Shevich V'Hodah and Hallel. But Shofar is all about taking stock and looking consistently, not at one thing, but at the totality and your holistic profile as a religious personality. And from that perspective, we have to be more careful that we don't build in some sort of inconsistency. Being extra nizar on Shemei Avirenu Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim ends up being a key in the shofar itself. I would like to suggest that that's the reason why in the Nusach HaTfilah and in the Hava Mina the Gemara, and still the Nusach HaTfilah, despite the Maskana, and the Aruch HaShulchan, despite the Maskana, and in the Yerushalmi, and possibly Beis Shammai, Zichron Trua Daraisa tells us not to blow the shofar, even though there doesn't seem to be a malacha. For the same reason that you might say, Yom Trua Yelachem Afilu B'Chilu Shabbos, on one side, you might say, if there's a risk that Tekiah Shofar is going to lead you to violate some other Iser, not just some other Iser, a big one like Shabbos, then the factor of Zichron Trua, right, impels you not to do it, not to take the chance. It's almost like a mitzvah b'aveira type, you know, arrangement. You have to protect the integrity of Tekiah Shofar, right, even to the point of being mabatala. the Kapos Tmarim in Yom Tshuva asks a question. He says, I don't understand. The Havamim of the Gemara, we could say for the Yerushalmi also. Zichron Tshuva is used for Shabbos? We use Zichron Tshuva to teach you that mitzvah strichas kapos may be b'shofar, different than other dinim. Gemara and Chav Ches and Rosh Hashanah. Or Rashi uses it for Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros. How are you going to use it for this also? But the answer is that Zichron Tshuva teaches us not only the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar, Yom Tshuva Yelachem, not only that it's part of Kedushas Hayom, but that it comes along with certain standards and spiritual ambition. Even if mitzvah Sein Tzrichas Kavana, Shofar requires it. Even if you don't normally require brachos or tfilos, together in conjunction with Tkiyas Shofar, Zichron Tshuva, you require. And if on Shabbos there's a danger that the shofar will come at the expense of everything that it stands for, then it's a kiyum in Zichron Tshuva to abstain. It's almost like kashem that I referred to before. Kashem shemekablin schar al adrisha, kach mekablin schar al aprisha. Sometimes when you abstain, right, when you refrain, that's the kiyum. And I think that, I've been saying this, but I think that particularly this year, you know, on the one hand, we feel like, you know, there were several months where people weren't, and some people still are not, you know, able to do tefillah b'tzibur. You know, even the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and davenings, there's so much, you know, discussion about it, you know, what to leave and what to cut out. And I think there's a lot to say about it, but not for now. But obviously, we've suffered individual and collective trauma, you know, and the idea that, you know, you're going to have Rosh Hashanah without Tkiyas Shofar, Daraisa, on the first day. But just like, you know, V'nishmartem, you know, Esnaf Shel Seichem, you know, was a reason to abstain, you know, from optimal, what otherwise is optimal, Tefillah B'Tzibur and Kriyas HaTorah, you know, as an internal kiyum, not because we don't care enough about tefillah, but because we understand the holistic interconnection. So too, Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, Zichron Tshuva tells us that sometimes the best way to accomplish Yom Tshuva Yelachem, right, is through a Takana D'Rabbanan, abstaining. So instead of being an expression of Bal Tigra, which maybe the speculating, maybe we never would have said, certainly wouldn't say about an individual abstaining. Maybe wouldn't say it about the Takana D'Rabbanan and not to do other mitzvahs in certain circumstances either. But dafka, the expectation, anticipation of Shofar Rosh Hashanah, its embedded character as part of the Kedusha Sayom, makes it almost ignoring it, almost like a kumvaseh, and almost like kvar hitchil bo. Or certainly like, oh, we're changing the character of the institution of Kedushas Hayom for Rosh Hashanah. So what makes it more nachutz and more baltigra in this particular case, not just the fact that it's koach rabbanon, but the rabbanon we're trying to accomplish, which also may be a kiyum d'oraisa, was to protect the integrity and the ambition of Tkiyas Shofar itself. That requires that we say in the Tefillah Zichron Tshuva, Parshas Emor, not because it's second best, and not just only because it's descriptive of the truth this year, but also because it highlights the greater ambition of Shofar, which sometimes is expressed by when you don't do it. And if you have a Mokom Bezdin and it's a legitimate Mokom Bezdin, for the very same reason, you're going to do it. So that the Kula and the Chumra both come from the same place, from the place that establishes the indispensability and the central role of Shofar and everything that it stands for on Rosh Hashanah. So I'll stop here. I want to wish everybody a ksivach sima tova, a shnas chayim v'shalom. And, you know, for us collectively as a Klal Yisrael and, you know, as a tzibur, and of course for every individual, who have undergone really challenging times in the past year, that, you know, we should, you know, go mechayel al chayel. We hope you know, that this, you know, we're at the stage of the process where we're coming out of it. And either way, even if there are some, you know, temporary setbacks, to keep our perspective and to keep our understanding that, you know, there's Yom Teruah and Zichron Teruah. In both cases, we embrace the meaning and the challenge of the shofar, you know, sometimes in ways that allow us to implement it, you know, maximally. And in other cases where we have to internalize it through tefillah and other things, but where it is, in that case, at least as powerful, because our restraint and our refraining itself is a function of our understanding, appreciation, and sensitivity, right, to its ambition. So again, wish everybody a good Yontif. We'll continue on Tzom Gedalia. What time do we